Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is the second in a two-part podcast on lean accounting in the public sector. In the first of our two podcasts, we looked at the basic definition of what lean was, where lean came from, a little bit of history there was there, and how lean had been developed and some of the problems that we as accountants had in coping with lean philosophies that have been created in our organisation. So this second podcast is looking a little bit more in detail at how we account for lean philosophy, or how we account for the introduction of the lean philosophy into our business processes, into our organisation processes. So again, as in the first podcast, I'll give you some examples that are relevant to public sector organisations. So I'm going to start off by comparing assumptions. So comparing assumptions between traditional accounting, which accounts for traditional organisations, and lean accounting, how we might account for organisations that have lean philosophies in place. So traditional accounting, the philosophy is that the organisation profits from utilising its resources fully. So in the public sector, we would say that the idea is to utilise your resources fully and therefore reduce the costs and make your service more efficient. Also in traditional accounting, our assumption is that direct labour is the key cost that the organisation has to bear. Again, in the public sector, you may be aware that actually service organisation, a lot of our labour is dedicated to administration, administrative processes. So perhaps that assumption isn't correct when we're trying to simplify and eradicate waste from those processes. The third traditional assumption is that all excess capacity is bad, so that if we have people who aren't spending their whole time delivering a service, then that is a bad thing. We should have them constantly delivering their service. Now, if we compare that with lean, the assumptions are different. So the first one is that the organisation profits from maximising the flow on the pull from the service users. What does that mean? Well, it means that we have to be ready. When a service user wants our service, we have to be ready to provide that service, but only when the service user wants it. And when we do provide that service, we have to be able to provide it as efficiently, and often that means as quickly as we possibly can. The second assumption of lean is that waste is where we have resources that impede the flow of the process. So we want to get rid of those things that impede the flow of the process. The third assumption is that control should be exercised through our focus on improving the flow. So that's getting the services out more efficiently to our users. And the fourth assumption is that actually excess capacity can be a good thing in that it provides flexibility in our organisation. So while we still don't want lots of excess capacity doing nothing all of the time, having a little bit of excess capacity can help in making us a more flexible organisation. Next, I'm going to compare measures. How do we measure traditionally, and how could we measure, and what sort of things could we measure if we were doing lean accounting? So traditional accounting, we would measure things like labour efficiency and resource utilisation. An NHS hospital, how many surgical procedures has the surgeon carried out? In an NHS hospital, how full are the wards? Do we have any spare beds? If we don't, we get rid of them. In a traditional organisation, we look at variances to standard cost. Traditional response to cost cutting in a public sector organisation is to, and I'll put it in inverted commas, reduce headcount. Reduce headcount. If you get rid of people, then that reduces the cost of employing people, and therefore you will control the cost and help stay within your budget. The third traditional measure is budget adherence. We must stick to the budget, and that's not only the budget in total, but also each individual line of the budget. So we might have a budgeted cost of running our administration department or our human resources department. Not only would we have to stick within the total amount of expenditure for that department, but we would also have to make sure that we have the correct amount of expenditure on the correct band of employee. So band A, we've got to have a certain cost, and in band C, we've got to have a certain cost. And we rigidly enforce that adherence to each line of the budget. In lean, the sort of things we might measure in lean are things like cycle time. So how long did it take from the beginning of the process to the end of the process? So let's say we were dealing with an organization that was, say, part of the Department of Trade and Industry that was offering advice to fledgling businesses. How long does it take from that business requesting the advice to the advice being successfully delivered? We could also measure throughput. How many claims, let's say, in the Department of Social Security, do we process during a particular period of time? We also look at quality, and that is getting it right first time. So it's not just about the number of claims that we process, but it's also about the number of claims that then have to be reviewed or that then are appealed against. Fourthly, we might look at inventory turnover. So for example, in an NHS hospital, we might look at how long stocks of drugs are held. And the idea is that, you know, holding on to stocks for long periods of time is wasteful. It's wasteful in terms of the amount of storage you need. And it's also wasteful in that if things have a best before date, then they can eventually end up being thrown away. And lastly, another lean measure might be delivery to the customer, delivery to the end user. So for example, in a police force, how long does it take to respond to a 999 call? What's the average response time? That's something that could be monitored rather than the traditional accounting measures that we use. So lean measurement, some examples of lean measurement. Lean measurement would focus on things like cash flow, importance of cash to an organization, particularly in times of cash constraint. And an organization might therefore look at things like how quickly is it paying its suppliers. I know in the public sector, there are rules forcing public sector organizations to pay their suppliers within particular periods of time, usually within 30 days, within a month. But an organization may be paying even quicker than that because it's easier to pay quickly. Is it? Or should we actually be paying more slowly in times of cash restraint that we have today? Inventory days, one we've just mentioned. We would seek to reduce the amount of time that we hold inventory for. On-time delivery. For example, in the NHS, for a surgical procedure, there is an 18-week period when that procedure has to be completed from the referral to the hospital to the actual discharge successfully of the patient. User satisfaction, another measure that you might use in lean accounting. How happy are our customers? Daily output. So we mentioned already the number of claims that the Department of Social Security processes, the number of tax bills that the Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs collects could be another one. First time throughput. So this is the quality thing that we've already measured in the case of Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. How often do we have to correct our tax demands? It's better to get it right first time. It may take you a little bit longer, but under lean philosophy, we want to make sure that we get it right first time because it's better to get it right first time than to fail and have to keep going back to the user time and time again. So principles for lean accounting. If we were going to create a lean accounting process, what would be the basic tenets of our accounting system? What would they look like? Well, the first thing that we would have in place is we would have what we call value stream costing in place. Let me just explain to you what that is. A value stream basically has three stages to it under the lean concept. The first stage of a value stream is the problem-solving stage. The problem-solving stage revolves around concept of the service, let's say, design of the service and launch of the service. So for example, in a local authority, in order to control costs, they may be looking at redesigning some of their service provision. Like, for example, we've already mentioned the planning service. They may be looking at redesigning it. So that's stage one in the value stream. The second stage in the value stream is what's called information management. So this is where the organization takes service users' requirements. So we mentioned before about the Department of Trade and Industry offering business support to organisations. So this would be the stage where the government trade advisors would take inquiries and schedule in appointments, decide who should go, what sort of skills each advisor would need to have to provide the advice that the end user wanted. And the third stage, and this is the one that we normally only focus on actually in traditional accounting, the physical transformation stage. And this is the actual stage of the service delivery. So this is the third stage of the value stream where we are actually, let's take the last example of offering government advice, where we're actually at the meeting with the client. What are the costs involved there? So in our lean accounting system, we would use a value stream costing approach. We would look at all of the services that we were providing and how much it cost at each stage, each of those three stages of the value stream. Secondly, in our lean accounting system, we would have bespoke performance measurement techniques. Now, this would require leadership from the top of the organization so that those measurement techniques were agreed and recognized throughout the whole organization. So, for example, in Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, the collection of tax revenues may be something that's monitored. The amount of tax revenues and the speed at which those tax revenues are collected. So each organization, when we're doing lean accounting, would have to look at what the ultimate aim of the organization is and design performance measurement techniques to reflect that. So rather than just using the traditional, you know, we budget, then we measure variance to budget approach as a one-size-fits-all performance measurement technique, each organization would develop its own tools. Thirdly, there would be a focus on transaction elimination. So we would focus on cutting out waste. I've always thought that when I receive letters from Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, they always send them second class. So for example, last week we paid our corporation tax bill. We know we paid it. This week we received a letter which was sent second class from HMRC. The date on the letter was before the date that I sent my payment. But what that letter does is it generates a phone call from me. So I then ring up HMRC. They have to answer the phone after sending me through their voicemail system. They answer the phone. I speak to an advisor. That costs them money. So by saving 20, 30p on a stamp, they've actually incurred a much higher cost because it sets a doubt in the end user's mind. So, you know, the lean accounting system would look at those sorts of wastages and have a process for eliminating them and measuring how successful that transaction elimination was. Fourthly, we'd obviously have to measure the financial impact of lean improvements, and we'd have to have a system that was able to focus on before and after costs. I mentioned earlier the example of outsourcing your cleaning, and I said that, you know, if you decided using lean philosophy that it would be better to have the cleaning in-house, then simply comparing the cost of employing cleaners against the bill that you receive from the outsourcer wouldn't really be a valid comparison. A lean system would have to reflect the whole cost of tendering that outsourcing contract, paying the outsourced company, as well as the actual bill itself. And it would have to compare that against the in-house costs. The cost of having a HR team to pay the wages and the cost of the wages and the products used themselves. So that the lean system needs to compare the true financial impact, comparing one value stream against the other. Next, you'd probably have a target costing approach within your lean accounting system. So you would, in target costing, look at the price that the customer is prepared to pay. Obviously, in the public sector, these prices are set for you. So, for example, in a school, you know how much you're going to get per pupil head. In the NHS, you know how much you're going to get from the PCT, as it currently is, for each piece of heart surgery. And what your accounting system then does is it looks at that income that you're getting from the public purse, and it seeks to drive down the costs to make sure the costs are within that income level. And lastly, your lean account system should encourage lean decision making. So it should make sure that the business is managed by the value streams, giving accountability for growth and service management to the people who actually deliver those services to the managers in charge. Okay, so there's some principles for lean accounting, some of the features that a lean accounting system should have in it. These two podcasts have been an introduction to the principles of lean accounting and how you might introduce a lean accounting system into an organization that was following a lean philosophy. I'd just like to leave you with the thought that lean itself is a philosophy. It isn't a one-off process that an organization goes through. You don't do lean and then carry on as normal. Lean will represent a cultural shift within the organization. And final thought I'd like to leave you with is that lean is driven by the people, and it's very important that all of the people who work within a lean system are indoctrinated in the principles of lean management. And of course, if they're members of your finance team, that will help them to come to terms with what the lean process is trying to achieve and will help drive efficiencies in your accounting system as a byproduct of your accounting team creating accounting processes that track, monitor, and help to achieve the lean philosophy within the organization. My name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.